Welcome, everybody. This is a fairly large crowd, my gosh. So people told me about 700 people. That looks roundabout right, I would say. In any case, thank you for having us, and especially thank you to Satya for coming over. I think it's a big honor for us to have you here on stage.
No, it's my pleasure. It's fantastic to be in Germany, and especially starting off a day with our very best friends in the technical community is fantastic.
Cool. Satya, you are now around about 9 months into your new job, but you're much longer with Microsoft. Let me give you kind of as a starter question. What's your background? What's your experience so far being a CEO? And why are you now in Germany?
Yeah. You know, I've been in Microsoft for 22 years. In fact, I started in 92, just before Windows NT. And it's been quite a journey. I've had the opportunity in the company to work on many of our platform products over the years, Windows and Office and our online properties, and it's been an amazing, rewarding journey. But the last 9 months, in some sense, has been, for me, a relearning of the place that I grew up in. Especially in an audience like this, because when I think about what makes Microsoft tick and what's made Microsoft successful is really the partnerships that we've developed in all the geographies that we operate in, and the technical community, and the fact that we have our MVPs here and we have our student partners, and it's that community of IT pros and developers that has made, in fact, I can think back at all the products that I've worked on which has been dependent on those communities and the feedback cycles from those. So that's really been perhaps the most rewarding part of the journey.
Okay. You said the technical community is so important for us going forward. Can you elaborate a little bit on that one?
I mean, one of the foundational pieces for Microsoft is that we are partner-led. I think that's been core to how we've built products. In fact, I talk a lot about how that platform sensibility, where we take the interests of end users, IT pros, and developers, and harmonize them together. If that, to me, is one of the things, and we've made our fair share of mistakes in trying to bring those interests together. But wherever we have got it right, we've created magic. Think about even over the last 25 years, 20 years in particular, how we've democratized client-server computing, and now we're doing the same thing with the cloud. To me, that's really why I think partnering deeply with the technical community, doing programs like the Early Access Windows 10 program so that the feedback cycle is early on, you know, influencing the product is very important.
Okay. Our strategy has evolved. And now our vision is to become the leading productivity and platform company in a mobile-first, cloud-first world. Obviously, you are the driver behind that vision. Can you explain to us what you mean by that, what's necessary to be really successful, and also what's necessary for this community to help us being successful together?
Yeah, so first, one of the things that has been very important for me is to be able to characterize the technical paradigm that we are entering. And that's what I describe as this mobile-first, cloud-first world. And when I say mobile-first, it's not the mobility of the device, it's the mobility of the user's experience across devices. You can think about you yourself getting up in the morning, perhaps reaching out to your smartphone, but then going into a living room and then using a different device, going to work using another device, and then going to a conference room, and then you have a large screen. Any device that you interact with at any point in the day, you want to be able to have your applications, your data, and that mobility of the experience is what the cloud orchestrates. So that's why, for me, the mobile-first and cloud-first worlds go together. So that's the world that we are entering. And in the full arc of time, many devices will come and go in your life and even in a given day. But it's the ability to be able to navigate through all of that is what's important. Now, the question, of course, is in a mobile-first, cloud-first world, what is the unique contribution that Microsoft and the technical community around Microsoft can make? And to me, it comes down to two things. One is that we are the company, we are the technical community that can reinvent productivity. Think about it. In all this abundance of computing that's there, what is scarce is human attention. And so one has to really think about what are the tools, what are the new kinds of productivity experiences that we can invent so that people can get back time, people can preserve their attention. That's, I think, of very paramount importance. You don't want to be deluged with basically your devices. You really want to be able to get more out of every moment of your life. To me, that is sort of what we mean by reinvention of productivity. That means, of course, also having the experiences that you love in life, like a Word, PowerPoint, Excel, and all devices. But more important than that, it's new experiences. I mean, you take something like Cortana. To me, Cortana, which is an intelligent agent, is about being able to reason about all of your information and help you prioritize, help you focus your attention on the things that matter. Those are new experiences. Even take something like Power BI, which is a new experience which allows you to get at the right answers, because in a world of big data, it's problematic to get to insights. But a tool like Power BI can get you to insights. Even a product like Dell, which I think is a productivity tool, which allows, it completely changes how information is discovered inside the enterprise. Culturally, it makes it very, very different. In fact, I go there every day to check out what my direct reports are presenting or being presented to. It just, information discovery gets flipped around. So that's what I mean by reinvention of productivity, which I think only Microsoft can uniquely do. The other side, of course, is the platform piece, which is what I explained, which is we are the company that will harmonize the interests of developers, end users, and IT pros to create platforms, both with Windows 10, as well as in the cloud with Azure, as well as our server products. So that, to me, is at the core of what Microsoft's vision is.
Okay. Microsoft is one of the few IT service providers who is serving both consumers and commercial customers. Many of our competitors have a focus on either this side or the other side. Why do you believe, and why do we believe, this is the right way to actually win over everyone, ideally?
No, for me, Microsoft is focused on users. And users do not distinguish between their life and work. The last time I checked, work is very much part of life, and it's not something else. And so one of the reasons why we have brought together, in fact, our teams and our efforts. For me, Skype and Link is one effort. OneDrive and OneDrive for Business is one effort. Outlook and Exchange is one effort. Cortana knows about your personal life and your work life. That, to me, is the core of how Microsoft will go about our reinvention of productivity and the scenarios. That dual user or dual usage, as I describe it, I think is more conducive to how users expect the experiences. And that's going to be our focus. And so I do want to distinguish. We have a gaming business, which is, I love our Xbox gaming business, and we're going to be in that business for its own sake, and that's an amazing brand when it comes to what we're doing in gaming. But the core of the rest of the company is about platforms and productivity and dual use, and that to me is the core.
Okay, let's dig a little deeper on the strategy. You said everything is going to be cloud-based, and I think in one of your presentations you said we have the most complete cloud in the world. What do you mean by this? Can you explain to us what you mean by that statement?
So when I think about the cloud, first of all, our point of view, I think it's very important, especially in Germany, it becomes much more acutely important. Because my vision is not that one single North American company is going to, in their data centers, have all of the world's storage, compute, and network. That's a very limited view of the world. I mean, even today, there are around 8 million servers that get sold in each year, and only around a million and a half go into the megascale folks. So the fact that distributed computing is going to be alive in the future is the grounding with which we start. So having said that, our cloud has three pieces. The first thing is we really have
our SaaS services. So this is Office 365 and Dynamics. To us, having that productivity and business process services, which are horizontal and broadly relevant in any business, small, medium, large, is super important. And in fact, we're building those services not just as end user services, but as developer platforms with IT control. So they are platforms themselves. So that's one first layer. Then on top of that, we have our at-scale Azure cloud or a public cloud service. Now, there are only a couple of players on that scale. You know, we have over 1 million machines today across 19 data centers across the world. So that means you can benefit from the scale economics. And it's a very broad cloud that supports not only Windows. In fact, 20% of our cloud already supports even Linux virtual machines. So it's a very open cloud environment that allows you to bring any code, any data, and really build applications. But perhaps the most distinguishing feature is our support for true hybrid computing. I do not consider our servers as some legacy business. In fact, I consider our servers as the edge of the cloud. We have done some very, very good engineering work because, after all, we run our own Azure cloud using our servers. So we benefit from the software benefits of being able to take the same server products and make them available for others to stand up their private cloud. I mean, a good example of this is SQL. SQL Server 2014, out of the box, can do high availability by just using our cloud. And of course, you can do disaster recovery, you can do backup on Windows Server. So that type of orchestration of private cloud, mega-scale public cloud, and SaaS applications, that's the most comprehensive, complete cloud, which speaks to the realities of businesses.
You gave us a very good technical explanation about the cloud stack and the different layers. We're getting feedback from customers, even from part of this group. Why are you pushing us so fast in the cloud? What is your core belief by moving customers, partners, and all our constituents we're working with into the cloud? Why are we doing this?
You know, one of the things that foundationally, the idea behind the cloud is to give more leverage to our customers. So this is not about us being dogmatic about a deployment mode. It is more about what is the benefit that we as a technical community together can deliver to our customers so that they can get more value. I mean, one of the fascinating things, think about Office 365. As soon as you sign up for Office 365, we're continuously adding value to it, and every end user in the customer organization now can benefit while IT still has complete control. That, to me, takes out a lot of the friction that currently exists in deployment and in other sort of provisioning of infrastructure. But that does not mean that we do not want to provide maximum flexibility. That's why, to me, having our server products, supporting hybrid deployments, supporting cloud tiering, and in fact, very disconnected private clouds is important. These are not transitory things. I believe that there might be some workloads you'll run in the public cloud, some workloads you'll always run in private cloud, and some that will be hybrid. We want to provide that flexibility so that you and us can deliver maximum value to our customers. So to me, that's more the goal that we are after, as opposed to being dogmatic about one deployment mode.
Right. We talked about the cloud. Let's switch over a little bit to devices. We had an announcement on Windows 10, and we're saying we want to be applicable on every device. What do you mean by every device? So the whole device range, what we're talking about here.
Yeah. Windows 10, to me, is not just another release of Windows. I mean, it's really, truly the beginning of a new generation of Windows. We're conceptualizing it at three layers very distinctly. The first one, of course, is the experience layer, where we want Windows to work across IoT devices, 4-inch devices, to the 85-inch perceptive pixel screens. And so we want, it's not about one size fits all, so it's not about one user experience across all of these devices, but it's consistency from a user experience perspective. So that's one very important element of it. The second element of it is for IT pros to provide you that IT control plane, which has identity management, which has device management, which also has data security across all of these. In fact, one of the things that I think increasingly will become very important is even for your IoT scenarios, the client operating system being manageable, secure, is going to be very important. So it's going to be at a premium to have Windows work across all of this for an IT perspective. Then the last one is for developers. One of the key things that I feel that we did not do as good a job in the previous releases, which we absolutely are committed to fixing, is having a developer platform that maximizes the reach for your applications and your code. So the Universal Windows Application Platform allows you to target the entirety of the 1.5 billion install base of Windows. That is a very, very credible opportunity for developers. And of course, combined with our store, that means you really now have the ability as a developer to be able to build applications and reach all devices. So that three-pronged strategy of consistency of experience, the IT control plane, for every IT pro to be able to manage and secure Windows devices, and developer opportunity being maximized, to me is the dawn of a new era of Windows with Windows 10.
So you talked about the 1.5 billion installed devices. I think according to IDC, intelligent devices by 2020 is about 200 million, if I have the number.
Yeah, 212.
212, right. So if we're talking specifically about this group, what is the opportunity for this group here together with Microsoft in the future?
I think if you look at what's happening, and I think the data you used, which is there are going to be more devices than people on the planet, and there are going to be more sensors that are capable of running general purpose compute than the devices. So I think that generally there is going to be ubiquitous computing. And you add to that even the cloud infrastructure, our ability to create these intelligent experiences, and I describe it sometimes as ambient intelligence, because you can reason over all of the data to be able to create more intelligence in all the apps that we build. So you take something like that as the opportunity in front of us, and then you take any one of our constituents here, you take developers. I think that building these new generation of applications that fundamentally transform businesses is huge. People talk about how software is eating the world. I actually like to think about, let us not think about eating the world, let us think about empowering the world. This community, I think, has the unique opportunity as a developer community to really go create those software solutions where manufacturing, energy, retail, any one of these industries which is being fundamentally being transformed by digital technology is being fueled by the apps that you're building. Same way from an IT pro perspective. One of the things is, as there is more of software and software solutions and devices, you need to have amazing control over it in order to be able to do the information assurance. So I think it's sometimes people talk about how it's all about consumerization of IT and there's no need of IT, and it's just in fact exactly wrong. There might be very different ways for you to go about doing what you do, but I would say it's at a premium for doing things like identity management, device management in a new way, data security in a new way. So that's another opportunity. As even people bring new devices, as sensors are running applications, how do IT pros now have the ability to manage all of this complexity and payment?
You talked a lot about the Internet of Things scenarios and the proliferation of device intelligence devices. In Germany, we call this Industry 4.0. Mm. Yep. We call this the fourth industrial revolution. But it's pretty much dealing with the same topics. It has become hot over the recent months. A lot of discussion about this and how we embark, how we accelerate. One of the discussions I'm facing is, who's taken over the leadership in this migration? Is it IT or is it more the classical industry players? What would be your point of view on that one? I think
that's actually a great question, because I think we've reached a point where one has to ask even the basic question of technology is in service of human potential and economic growth. In fact, somewhere along the lines, I think sometimes we lose sight that technology doesn't exist for its own sake. It exists because societies want to grow, economies want to grow, and human potential and human capital needs to realize its full potential. If you sort of take that approach, I'm actually comfortable with the manufacturing sector, the energy sector, or any one of the other industrial sectors, in particular in Germany, using digital technologies to transform themselves and for us to be platform providers to them. I think that perhaps is probably the unique identity even Microsoft and our technical community has, and I like that position. We're not trying to go own manufacturing. We're not trying to go own retail. We want a retailer, a manufacturer, an energy sector participant to be successful. Now, one of the things that they are capable of doing now to be successful is take all these field devices. In fact, even in Germany, I think we have many, many examples. You know, ThyssenKrupp and Siemens Healthcare and all of these companies have in-field devices, which, first of all, need a secure operating system that we can obviously, as a community, provide them. But more than even just the client operating system, we can provide scenarios through some services in Azure, both the Azure Machine Learning Service and a service called Azure ISS, or the Intelligent Systems Service. We can take the exhaust, or the data exhaust, from your Internet of Things, and turn that into new types of fuel, which is things like predictive analytics. So you can now have a million elevators sending back signal to you, which you're able to reason about in real time, and use that to do predictive maintenance contracts, which transform the business, because that's what we really want to enable. And that opportunity exists for us.
I think that is a super important statement you made. We are a platform company. I would say we're a component supplier in helping customers migrating into kind of an IT-based business model. We do not want to get into their business.
That's correct. And in fact, we want to enable the business model transformation of our customers using IT technology.
Although this is a Q&A session, could you do me a favor? Can you spread that message across the world? Because we're getting these questions all over. You want to basically take over my business? No, we don't. We are a component supplier of IT software, of intelligence, not more, not less.
Yeah, and that clearly is our identity.
Right. Obviously, we have to prepare for this event months ahead, and we've taken the opportunity to basically ask you for questions. Obviously, we're time constrained, as you can imagine, so we cannot touch every question, but at least I want to highlight some of them. And we've got a promise that we're going to answer all the other questions via whatever, Yammer, email, whatever. This is the appropriate way of communicating back. But I got a couple of questions in front of me. And the first question is actually coming from Fabian Kaplicic. And he's, again, asking the question, what is the advice you would give young people in order to prepare for this mobile-first, cloud-first world?
You know, I had this morning some of the students as part of the student program, and I had an opportunity to talk to them, and then I think I'm going to speak at the Technical University, which I'm looking forward to as well, and later in the day. It's an amazing time for anyone who is a student today and trying to get into technology because of what we just talked about. It's not just technology for technology's sake. But it's about having that broadest impact with your skill, with your craft in society at large and across all industries. I think the thing to do, really, my advice would be grab hold of the opportunity. There are many, many things that we are doing at Microsoft. So, for example, we have all of our courseware. So, in fact, a lot of the technology is available through something called Virtual Academy, which we are investing a lot to make it compelling. So I would ask anyone who is interested in any topic, cloud, Windows 10, and anything that is interesting, to join that program and get familiar with our technology. We also are doing some pretty aggressive things with our DreamSpark program to get our developer tools out. In fact, I think tomorrow we will have even more announcements around what we're doing with Visual Studio and Visual Studio Online, to make it attractive for anyone to become a great developer on our platform. We also have Imagine Cup, which, by the way, I love. I had the chance to participate in the Imagine Cup final presentations. There are many student teams from Germany that participate in the Imagine Cup, and many of them have won these competitions over the years. Taking advantage of opportunities like that is what I would encourage any young student coming in to the workforce and trying to gain experience.
Next question is coming from Daniel. He's asking, what can we expect from Microsoft Analytics, big data, and machine learning? You touched on that, but anything you would add to what you already elaborated on?
Yeah, one of the things that we are very focused on doing is taking all the learnings that we've had running, for example, image recognition from Kinect, taking speech recognition from what we've done in the Xbox, even just the web understanding from Bing, and converting all of that intelligence into a service in Azure ML, or the Azure Machine Learning Service. Because it's not just about some consumer services we build. I believe that every industrial internet application is going to want to hear things, is going to want to see things, it's going to want to have autonomous movement, do predictive advanced analytics. These rich capabilities is what we want to put in your toolbox as you go about building these types of solutions. So when we think about broadly the Internet of Things and broadly this next shift in the fourth industrial revolution, we want to give you that advanced platform technologies so that you can build the solutions the world needs.
Okay. So the next question from Christian, I think you have answered. Obviously, you're also focusing on desktops. We're focusing on the whole installed base. Let's move over to the last question.
I mean, on the desktop, the one thing I'd say is, because I'm sure there's a lot of people who are .NET developers. It's true. Sometimes it gets a little confusing. We have a new platform. What's happening? The one thing I want to assure you is all .NET developers and .NET code is always going to be first-class supported by our platforms, both in the cloud as well as on the client, because that's very, very important to us. I mean, you can take WPF applications, they'll continue to be fantastic applications. There are many, many industries that depend on .NET apps and Win32 apps, and they continue. If anything, as a platform provider, I want us to do a much better job in continuity of investment as opposed to discontinuity that has sprung on people. And so that's something that I'm very, very committed to. While we introduce new technologies, while we expand opportunities, while we make even new friends, we even want to bring in people who are Java developers or open source developers onto our cloud and our cloud platforms. But that doesn't mean .NET is not first class. So that's perhaps one of the things that I want to stress.
Okay, cool. And last question is coming from Holger. He's obviously, he bought a Surface Pro 3. He's happy with it. Looks like he also has an iPad and wants to get rid of it. You have to take care of that one. But the question from Holger is actually, what is the plan to make Surface Pro 3 even better than it is today?
So one of the key things we did not talk much about is what exactly are we doing with our hardware. We now have obviously very rich capability, both with what we have done in Surface as well as the Nokia capability. And we want to build flagship Windows products across the full spectrum, from phones to large screen PPIs. And the goal is to create new categories. And Surface Pro 3 is a fantastic example of a device that has some very unique capability. As we try to describe it, it's a tablet that can replace your laptop. That's a unique value proposition, which is something that we set our goals even in version 1, and we've really done it in the classic Microsoft fashion very well in version 3. And that, to me, is the kind of persistence I want us to have when it comes to coming out with great flagship products. One of the salient points is how the natural interfaces. I mean, for example, you have touch. It's very automatic for me to use touch, especially in tablet mode. It's also very automatic for me to use the pen on OneNote in particular, the one-click thing. In fact, it is really joint innovation between OneNote, inking on Windows, and the hardware, because the parallax error when you write on glass is something that we wanted to make sure we solve for. And so that kind of joint innovation to bring to life something like a new input mechanism is very important, and that's something that we can uniquely do. While at the same time, you plug in your keyboard and your mouse and the trackpad, and every application works like a laptop. So that combination of natural interface with applications on an ambidextrous device, I think, is pretty unique in Surface. And you'll continue. You can expect us to continue that.
Sanjay, we have to get to an end. I enjoyed that session a lot, especially your passion about our technology and our devices. Any kind of closing remarks?
Yeah, I would first say I can't express my thanks more than anything, because if you look at the core of our company, it is so dependent on the technical communities, the choices you make, the bets you place. As I said, we're not perfect. We do things sometimes that I'm sure annoy you in terms of the choices we make, but what I can assure you is that we are a platform company at the core. We are a company that cares about providing tools that empower individuals and organizations. That's at the soul of this company. And we thrive on the feedback cycle. We thrive on you pushing us with the work you do for our customers. Both developers and IT pros, people who are coming into the communities as students, MVPs who have really bet their career on us and will be great evangelists for Microsoft Technologies. I can't thank you enough, and it's been an amazing pleasure of mine to have a chance to come here in Germany and talk to you all this morning. Thank you so much.